Hey guys, welcome back to Open Language. My name's Adam.
And I'm Diana.
Diana, I'm trying to remember. What are we talking about today?
Well, I'm here to remind you that we are talking about how to remember what we learn in English.
Okay, great. Yeah, my memory is just... what's the word I'm trying to say? So anyway, guys, today we've got part one of a two-parter that, as Diana said, we are discussing how to improve your, not just how to improve your memory, but just, you know, a better way to use your memory to your advantage.
Especially when we're talking about learning English.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got today's lesson broken up into five tips and two parts.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go ahead and listen to those first two.
All right.
Number one, take interest in what you're learning. We're all better at remembering things that we find interesting. Always try to find content that's relevant and engaging. It will help you sustain your motivation in the long run. Number two, put the focus on conversation, not vocabulary. Studies have shown that the most common 100 to 1,000 words in any language account for 50 to 80% of all spoken communication, while the most common 3,000 words account for 99% of communication. In other words, learning vocabulary can have diminishing returns. A lot of people attempt to expand their vocabulary too quickly and too soon. These efforts are misdirected because students should be focusing on conversational patterns once they've learned the most essential vocabulary words. All right, so the first one here, I think, is number one for a good reason.
Okay.
It's one of the most important things. Mm. And this is to take interest in what you're learning.
Yes, because if you're not interested, then it's just really hard to stay focused.
Because it's boring.
It's boring. And there's another word that I love in this tip as well, which is always try to find content that's relevant.
Mm, yes. So relevant, it's... similar to related.
Right.
But it's got another meaning, which means it is kind of appropriate for the current time.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's appropriate and useful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Useful.
Now, the other thing here is we're finding content that's not only relevant, but also engaging.
Mm, engaging.
So we've talked about engaged before, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So engaging is an adjective, and basically it means able to keep your interest and attention.
Exactly. Yes, it can keep your interest, and it can also draw your interest, right?
Yes,
if something is not engaging, it's like we said before, it's boring at the end of the day. Now, the reason why you need to find content that is not only relevant but also engaging is that it will help you sustain it will help you sustain your motivation in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And so sustain, as Adam just demonstrated, means to keep going. Right. To keep that motivation going.
Right.
So that English is not just a, I'm going to pick it up for 2 months kind of thing.
Yeah. And then after two, and even after 1 month, you might think like, oh, yeah, this is really tiring.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's lots of different ways we can use this word sustain, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think of a business.
Okay.
Is it able to survive in this economy? Is it able to sustain itself?
Okay. Even that phrase there, like sustain itself, is a great one, because we might even say like, you know, can my daughter sustain herself? Can he sustain himself?
Right, right.
So we often use this verb reflexively like that. Other things you could sustain are your passion.
Mm, that's a good one.
Yeah, like maybe, you know, maybe some people get married and, you know, it's really difficult for newlyweds or people that have been married for a few years to sustain that original passion.
Mm, that's true. Or even your passion for something.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The other thing that I think of is sustain your speed.
Okay, so like when you're driving?
When you're driving, or even in high school, we always had to run, run on on the track.
I hated that.
Yeah, I wasn't very good at it. I was really good at the sprint, where you can just run very quickly for 100 meters. But after 100 meters, not much sustain going on there.
All right, so the next tip here is to put the focus on conversation, not vocabulary.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. 1,000 times, yes. Okay, basically what we're looking at here is a statistic or a couple statistics that say, you know, language studies show that the most common words are not actually that many words, right? That 90% of a native speaker's conversation is made up of not so many words.
That's true, that's true. So here it says, the most common 100 to 1,000 words in any language account for 50 to 80% of all spoken communication.
Wow. So, like, most.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right, exactly. Okay, so this little phrase, account for here, this is going to be our grammar section for today. And it basically just means is.
Makes up.
Makes up. Okay, so 50 to 80%. Wow, I've seen a lot of statistics like this before, but you always need to be reminded of things like this.
Yeah. So the next statistic is a little bit disheartening. They say here the most common 3,000 words account for 99% of communication.
Yeah. It sounds really true, disheartening though it may be.
Right.
And I think the whole point here is that a lot of people, when they are studying a language, they just study more vocabulary and more vocabulary and more vocabulary. But, you know, of those 3,000 words, or even if it's 3,500 words, doesn't really matter. You know, like, they're all going to be the same words. You know, Americans, Canadians, I think our most common words are like, you know, whatever.
I.
Yeah, exactly. I eat like, you know, whatever. So, I mean, people spend all this time focusing on vocabulary and not enough time actually speaking. That's the point.
Yes, that's true.
That's the main point. And I love the way they have verbalized this here, which is learning vocabulary can have diminishing returns.
Right, so based on the statistic, it's like tripling your vocabulary will only give you an additional, you know, 20%.
Right, exactly.
Which is kind of sad. You know, you put so much effort into it, and then what you get back is not that much.
In fact, what you could even say is what you get back is diminished, right?
It's a diminishing return.
Exactly. It's becoming less and less and less. So any of you economics students out there, you might know this concept of diminishing returns. It's exactly as Diana just explained, except, you know, for a business or in the economy or something. At Open Language, we could hire 100 new hosts. But as long as we're still using the same recording studio and the same office, all the hosts would just be pushing each other out of the way. We wouldn't actually get much more done.
Right.
Okay, another word that's pretty related to diminishing is diminished. Diminished. Yeah. When I think about diminished, I think about diminished role. Like maybe, for example, if our coworker, he doesn't want to quit his job. He just wants, you know, to take on a diminished role. Okay, so usually this word diminishing, it's talking about some kind of number because, you know, it's, again, becoming less or less valuable.
Yep.
But this valuable part is also pretty good because you could say something like a diminished role. Okay, so not a diminishing role, a diminished ED role. So maybe like, let's say Diana is my boss, but then the new boss comes in and then, you know, slowly Diana's role gets more and more diminished.
Right. Because the new boss is taking over some of my previous duties.
Right. Exactly. She's never going to be as good as you, though.
Thanks, Adam. So a lot of people then attempt to expand their vocabulary too quickly and too soon.
Okay, so attempt, probably most people know it means something like try.
Yeah. So, Adam, what is the difference?
Well, you know, there's a movie called Star Wars. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that. And in it, one of the characters says, you know, do or do not. There is no try.
Okay.
Because usually when you see the word attempt, it usually means it was not successful.
Okay, so they tried and then they failed.
Right. Or in this case, we're saying, like, if you try this way, you're probably going to fail.
Okay,
it's not a very good attempt. It's the same reason why, you know, if someone tries to kill President Trump, but is not successful, we always call it an attempt.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's a really good point. So we could say that these efforts are misdirected.
We could say that. But what would we mean if we said that, misdirected?
So basically, the students are investing energy in something that's not quite worthwhile.
That's right. It's kind of going in the wrong direction.
Right.
So Diana just said energy, and that often comes up. You know, it could be mental energy, could be real energy as well. Or it could be something like resources as well.
Right. Like time is money.
Time is money, right? Exactly. So maybe we, you know, our company has put a lot of resources into this new advertising campaign. However, the campaign flopped. And now we've discovered that we have misdirected a lot of these resources.
Right. Along the lines of resources, I feel like because the world is now expanding and globalizing, a lot of people are trying to solve poverty. And so they try to, you know, give more funds to people who are poor. But this is kind of, we could say, a misdirected effort.
Yes.
Because it's not really solving the issue.
Right, exactly. The core issue, right? Exactly.
Right.
And even to take a look at that same problem from a different, slightly different perspective, you know, a lot of people who, we often say that globalization left them behind. A lot of these people are very emotional, very angry, but they don't know who to be angry at. How do you be angry at, you know, globalization? It's not a person. So you usually we would say like misdirected anger.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people could be angry at, you know, immigrants.
Yeah,
immigrants came
stole our jobs.
Took our jobs.
Yeah, that's true.
So lots of great ways to use this word misdirected.
Okay, so that's it for part one. Let's go ahead and listen to the next three tips in part two.
Excellent.
Number three, keep practicing in your head. Challenge yourself to think in the new language by constructing sentences and fake conversations in your head. Envisioning and practicing a conversation about a topic you're likely to have will lead to much easier conversations down the road. Inevitably, those questions will come up and you'll be ready to answer them. Number four, learn chunks and patterns. When it comes to learning English, focusing on sentence patterns, common phrases, and collocations, pronunciation patterns will help you remember and apply what you've learned in a broader range of situations. Number five, leverage your visual memory. You'll be amazed at how much more this will help you to remember. Memory is predominantly visual, so the next time you learn a new word or concept, try to visualize it immediately in your head by creating visual mnemonics.
Okay, the next one on our list, I think, is another pretty good tip. Keep practicing in your head.
All right. So here we say, challenge yourself to think in the new language by constructing sentences.
Okay, so construct here just means build.
Create.
But usually with sentences, you'll hear like sentence construction, construct a sentence.
Yes.
But it's not just sentences that you should be constructing here. It's also fake conversations.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what, you know, what we're trying to tell you to do here.
Talk to yourself.
Just talk to yourself. Exactly. But, you know, talk to yourself is something that you can do outside of your head. But inside of your head, what we need you to do is envision a conversation.
Envision. It's kind of close to imagine.
Right.
But usually about something in the future.
Right, exactly. So you can imagine some kind of, you know, beautiful future. You know, I envision a future where everybody can have a free education.
Ooh, that's a good one. For me, I like to envision a world where our salary is based on our character.
Ooh, okay, nice. Now, a lot of these things, envision, it kind of always means the same thing. It's always positive. Usually pretty positive. However, you do see one other construction or pattern, which is just, we envision that. Which is just usually in reports, you will always see something like this. We have read the data and we envision that, the stock market will go up next year.
Right. So kind of like predict.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So why should we envision and practice conversations?
Easy. Because inevitably, those kinds of conversations or those questions will come up down the road.
Mm-hmm. Right. So inevitably... Eventually.
At some point.
It's bound to happen.
It's bound to happen. It's so likely.
It's going to happen.
Bet your bottom dollar.
All right. So next tip is to learn chunks and patterns.
Okay. So this is one of Jenny's favorite words, chunks. Me, to be honest with you, as a native speaker, it kind of makes me feel kind of gross whenever I hear the word chunk. It basically just kind of means what, a big piece of something.
Mm-hmm. Right. In terms of language learning, it means learning blocks of words, right? Not just one at a time, but phrases.
Right,
those would be considered chunks.
Okay, so you got to learn chunks, patterns, and the reason why we need to do this is because we remember information better if we group it in some kind of series or group or...
Yeah, so it's kind of like a chain of words then? Series?
Exactly. So when it comes to learning English, focusing on sentence patterns, common phrases, and this word comes up a lot in our lessons.
Collocations.
Okay. So like pairs.
Word pairings.
They always go together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Usually a verb and a noun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So now the last tip we have for this lesson, leverage your visual memory.
Okay. So I hope we have a few more economics majors listening to this. Leverage always comes up.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Use something small to get something big.
Yeah. So take advantage.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So take advantage of what?
Visual memory.
Okay. So we've got all kinds of, different types of memory.
Yeah, senses.
Senses, yeah. Right, exactly. So your memory, I think they say that your smell, that's the one most associated with your memory.
Oh, yeah. It's olfactory.
Exactly. But unfortunately, you can't really smell all of your vocabulary. Some of them, I guess you probably could.
Yeah. Scented markers,
exactly. Probably your best friend here for remembering vocabulary is going to be your visual memory. Because visual just means picture, what you see, vision.
Exactly. So here they say that memory is predominantly visual.
Okay. So predominantly. You can see right in the middle of this word we have dominant.
Mm-hmm, dominant.
Powerful.
So for the most part.
For the most part. Yeah, exactly. So memory is for the most part or predominantly visual. So the next time you learn a new word or concept, try to visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
Visualize.
So try to see it or picture it in your mind.
Okay, so I must ask Diana, we just talked about another pretty similar sounding word, envisioning.
Yes.
Now this is visualize.
Yes.
And we're talking about visual. So many viz. Yeah, exactly. So what's the difference between visualize and envisioning?
So what we had mentioned before, envisioning is more like imagining something that will happen.
Right, exactly. Maybe it's not real,
right?
When you can visualize something, you could visualize anything. Okay, let's test our users right now. Guys, I want you to think of a panda. Visualize a panda. Are you doing it?
I am.
Okay. Now I want you to visualize that panda is wearing a red hat.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, and they're not going anywhere with that. So basically, that's it. You can visualize almost anything, but it doesn't necessarily require you to use Diana's word, to imagine anything.
Right,
imagine a future, a better future, or something like that.
Right. So how do they recommend us to visualize?
Well, they want us to do it by creating visual mnemonics.
Mnemonics, what a weird word.
It really is a weird word because it's spelled, well, it has a silent M at the beginning.
Yes,
so it's M-N together, but
yeah.
It's, you don't say the M, it's mnemonics.
Mm-hmm.
And these are basically things that just help you to remember other things.
Yep. So it's kind of like a little memory tip.
Sure, exactly. Can you remember any?
Okay, so for me, most of the time, a mnemonic is going to be an acronym.
Okay.
So the acronym is easier to remember, and then I write down the acronym, and then I write down what each letter stands for.
Okay, so
now, one of the ones that I still remember is Kings Play Chess on Fine Grain Sand.
Kings Play Chess on Fine Grain Sand. Okay, what does it stand for?
So each of the letters stands for the scientific classes.
Oh, right. Species.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kingdom, phylum, Kingdom, class, order.
Right.
So and so. So that's one. So you imagine kings playing chess on fine grain sand.
Okay, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It makes sense. There's, for music, there's so many.
I'm sure.
So many. And it's the same thing. You kind of visualize, for example, if you've ever looked at, we call it sheet music, which is the five lines.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to remember the letters for those five lines, there's so many different ways. My teacher told me every good boy deserves fudge. So again, I would just picture that boy eating fudge. And I know it's E, G, B, D, F.
Right, right. And the thing here is that everybody's mind works differently, and what's going to work for you might not work for your friend, and what works for your friend might not work for you.
Exactly.
So it's important to kind of play around with what helps you remember these words.
Okay, now that we've started to talk about this, I'm starting to remember so many. So maybe we should go ahead and listen to all five tips, and then maybe we can think of some more mnemonics when we come back.
All right, sounds good. Number one, take interest in what you're learning. We're all better at remembering things that we find interesting. Always try to find content that's relevant and engaging. It will help you sustain your motivation in the long run. Number two, put the focus on conversation, not vocabulary. Studies have shown that the most common 100 to 1,000 words in any language account for 50 to 80% of all spoken communication, while the most common 3,000 words account for 99% of communication. In other words, learning vocabulary can have diminishing returns. A lot of people attempt to expand their vocabulary too quickly and too soon. These efforts are misdirected because students should be focusing on conversational patterns once they've learned the most essential vocabulary words. Number three, keep practicing in your head. Challenge yourself to think in the new language by constructing sentences and fake conversations in your head. Envisioning and practicing a conversation about a topic you're likely to have will lead to much easier conversations down the road. Inevitably, those questions will come up and you'll be ready to answer them. Number four, learn chunks and patterns. When it comes to learning English, focusing on sentence patterns, common phrases, and collocations, pronunciation patterns will help you remember and apply what you've learned in a broader range of situations. Number five, leverage your visual memory. You'll be amazed at how much more this will help you to remember. Memory is predominantly visual, so the next time you learn a new word or concept, try to visualize it immediately in your head by creating visual mnemonics.
Okay, we are back. We have been talking about how to remember the things you've learned, and just now, Diane and I were kind of recalling some of the mnemonics that we learned when we were kids.
Right.
But this stuff wasn't really for language learning, right? This was kind of for, your example was for science.
Yeah.
Mine was for music.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when we're applying it to, you know, to language, it's kind of weird for us because, you know, we're not the ones that are trying to learn English. But when we learn Chinese, it's so easy to visualize the characters because they're obviously visual.
Yeah, they're actually pictures.
Exactly.
Right. So I think as foreigners, it's much easier to visualize the Chinese language. With English, it's composed of letters.
Right.
And it's not so easy to see a word as a picture. So you gotta split it apart and try to pick out parts that help you remind it of that word.
Exactly. Now, in this lesson, we were saying focus on your visual memory, but, you know, that doesn't mean that's the only thing you have to use. If that, you know, word reminds you of anything, a sound, a place, a person. For example, I've heard a lot of people here in Shanghai have, well, I don't know why I always hear this, but someone will say, like, do you know how to speak French? And I was like, no, I don't know how to speak French. Oh, I will teach you. And then they say, hello in French is bonjour. But they will say, oh, it sounds a lot like benju.
Benju.
So I think a lot of, even when we're talking about our, you know, portmanteau.
Yeah.
Right? We kind of have been using sort of that way to help people remember.
A portmanteau.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So enough about our mnemonics. We want to know, for those of you who do have them, what helps you remember new words?
Yeah, it could be anything. It could be like, you know, science-related words, like Diana had to say. Maybe, you know, some business terms. So how do you remember them? Let us know by leaving a comment or question below.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.